CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is Havana calling. CQDX, CQDX, CQDX. This is Radio Havana calling all shortwave listeners and radio amateurs. Welcome to... DXers Unlimited, Radio Havana's weekly feature dedicated to the fascinating world of radio communications.
Hola, amigos radioaficionados all around the world. You are now listening to the middle of the week edition of DXers Unlimited, our station's long-time contribution to the development of the wonderful radio hobby you and I enjoy so much. It's the radio hobby. I'm your host, Arnaldo Arnicoro, radio amateur CO2KK, and here are today's headlines. A tiny sunspot. Small one, belonging to the old cycle 24, has broken up another long period of zero sunspots in continuity. Heliophysicists, the astronomers specialized in studying the sun, have studied the characteristics of the new small sunspot and are very sure now, by its location on the solar disk and magnetic polarity, that it belongs to the now dying slowly solar cycle 24, the one coming to an end. Item 2, Sunday just after 5 p.m. local time, a 6-meter band opening caught me by surprise. My radio was picking up digital signals on 50.313, the watering hole for FT8 mode, showed up as FT8 calls and contacts. The amazing thing about this was the receiver had a 2 meters band vertical monopole antenna connected to it, not a 6 meter band antenna at all. So that gives you an idea of how intense were the FT8 signals coming from the sporadic E layer. Item 3 links with item 2, and it's titled Facts Behind Sporadic E, published recently by British radio amateur Ian G3. YWX. His name is Ian Poole. So here's now this very well-written article I'm reading for you. Facts behind sporadic E. Sporadic E is one of the most interesting forms of radio wave propagation via the ionosphere. As the name indicates, it occurs sporadically, and many of the mechanisms behind it are not well understood at all. It's a mystery. Sporadic E arises when clouds of intense ionization occur in the E region of the ionosphere. Initially, these will affect the lower frequency bands, and it can produce openings on 10 meters, that's 28 megahertz, and as the frequency rises, 6 meters, 4 meters, and occasionally 2 meters may be also influenced by the sporadic opening. When 2 meters is affected, openings are quite short, an hour or two is long, but openings of a few minutes only are known on 2 meters. I have worked them, some of them. During the course of an opening, the direction of the propagation can change significantly as the ionization clouds are moving, blown at high speed by the winds in the upper atmosphere. Find out more about this mysterious form of radio wave propagation that can be used to good effect on many of the high frequency and of course on 6 meters and 2 meter bands. QSL on the air from DXs Unlimited to several listeners that wrote me asking about more information about very simple receivers that can be built at home using a common set of hand tools, a good quality soldering iron, and a digital multimeter. You can add two also easy to homebrew test instruments that use the digital multimeter to display their readings. Using dual-sided printed circuit material, there is no need to use chemicals or photo etching processes. One side of the double-sided printed circuit board material acts as a universal ground plane, stabilizing the circuit, while the actual circuit wire is drawn on the top side of the copper. You will also need a small hand drill with a collection of small diameter drill bits required for the project. In order to start building your homebrew radios, it is necessary to count with a power supply unit that can be also built at home or bought as a complete unit from a commercial source. The ideal voltages can be provided by the power voltage supply for simple vacuum tubes receivers are 6 volts AC for the filaments, and also you will want to have 12 volts AC if the tubes are 12 volt filaments. The high voltage for the vacuum tubes, anodes and screen grids should be between 90 and 150 volts available that can be lowered and regulated using Zener diodes and power transistors, or if available, gas discharge voltage regulator tubes that are available for 75, 90, and 105 volts regulation. More information on how to start up your own kitchen countertop home electronics workshop in a few seconds here at DXs Unlimited. This is the middle of the week edition of DXs Unlimited with yours truly, Arnicoro, at the microphone. More about homebrew radios. A very simple, easy-to-build AM broadcast band receiver developed in Australia years ago goes by the aboriginal name of the Murabin. That's an aboriginal name, Murabin. It works very well and uses parts that can be found new or recycled today. It uses a field effect transistor regenerative detector and two common NPN general purpose transistors as audio amplifier stages. I have built several more mains using ferrite rod antennas and also tuned circuits made by winding enamel wire, copper wire on short length of PVC pipe, having made possible to tune the frequency range from 4 to 10 MHz in the shortwave version. I have available the data for the medium waveband Muravin, including schematic diagram, plus some useful notes to help you too. Send your request to info@enet.cu. Again, info@enet.cu, or via airmail, send mail to Arnie Coro, my last name is spelled Charlie Oscar, Romeo Oscar, Arnie Coro, Radio Havana, Cuba, Havana, Cuba. And now, amigos, as requested by many of you, more information about solar activity. Please pay attention. It's a very well-elaborated scientific publication that I'm going to read right now. The Maunder Minimum is the name given to the period of, from the year 1645 to 1715, when the number of sunspot storms on the sun became almost zero. The period is named after the solar astronomer Edward Walter Maunder, born 1851, died 1928, who was working at the Royal Observatory at Greenwich when he discovered the death of sunspots during the period of 1645 to 1715 years. During 130-year period within the Maunder Minimum period, there were only about 50 sunspots in total, compared with a more typical 40,000 normally seen during three solar 11-year typical cycles. Quite a difference, from 50 to 40,000. By the way, Edward Maunder was a driving force in the foundation of the British Astronomical Association and a fellow of the Royal Astronomical Society. The sun was well observed during the period of the Maunder Minimum, and this lack of sunspots is very well documented, no doubt about it. There is a very interesting coincidence between this period of solar inactivity corresponding to a climatic period called the Little Ice Age, when in Europe, rivers that were normally ice-free, like the Thames of London and the Seine of Paris, froze and snowfields remained at low latitudes throughout the year. So there is evidence the sun had similar periods of inactivity, minimums, prolonged minimums during the years 1100 to 1250 and 1460 to 1550. Sunspots generally follow a cycle of about 11 years duration, but solar cycles have varied from as short as 8 years to as long as 15 years total. The connection between solar activity and the Earth's climate is an area of ongoing and sometimes now, at this moment, very controversial research. An approaching grand solar minimum is gaining support among scientists, including NASA scientists, with a recent SC25 prediction, though they stay clear of the possible implications related to climate. They are saying there's going to be a very low activity for the next 10 or 15 years. NASA forecast for the next solar cycle reveals it will be the weakest of the last 200 years. And now, at the end of the program, a reminder that the Northern Hemisphere sporadic season is peaking right at this moment, providing band openings on the 12, 10, 6, and even on the 2-meter amateur bands. Send your signal reports and comments about the show to info@enet.cu. Again, info@enet.cu. And via airmail, send to Arnie Coro, Radio Havana, Cuba, Havana, Cuba.
And that's all for today. This is Arnie Coro, Radio Amateur CO2KK, your host here at Radio Havana's DXS Unlimited, saying 73 and very good DX.